in Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 33. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out will I rule over you. And I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people and there will I plead with you face to face, like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me, and I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. As for you, O house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, go ye, serve ye every one his idols, and hereafter also, if ye will not hearken unto me, but pollute ye my holy name no more with your gifts and with your idols. For in mine holy mountain, in the mountain of the height of Israel, saith the Lord God, there shall all the house of Israel, all of them in the land, serve me. There will I accept them, and there will I require your offerings and the first fruits of your oblations with all your holy things. I will accept you with your sweet savor, and when I bring you out from the people and gather you out from the countries wherein you have been scattered, and I will be sanctified in you before the heathen. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for the which I lifted up mine hand to give it to your fathers. And there shall ye be that shall ye remember your ways and all your doings wherein ye have been defiled, and ye shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that ye have committed. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have wrought with you for my name's sake, not according to your wicked ways, nor according to your corrupt doings, O ye house of Israel, saith the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face toward the south, and drop thy word toward the south, and prophesy against the forest of the south field. And say to the forest of the south, Hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will kindle a fire in thee, and it shall devour every green tree in thee, and every dry tree, the flaming flame shall not be quenched, and all faces from the south to the north shall be burned therein. And all flesh shall see that I the Lord have kindled it. It shall not be quenched. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, they say of me, doth he not speak parables? Now, there's a lot of things that are set forth in this passage, and we're not able, time wouldn't permit us in a long number of days to speak on all of them, but perhaps for a few moments we can look at a few things that's set forth here. I wanted to look at what he said in verse 49, Our Lord God, they saith of me, doth he not speak parables? Now, the Lord came forth speaking parables, the Scripture says, so that those that see might see and those that couldn't see wouldn't see. And that's the purpose of the preaching of the gospel. It serves a twofold purpose. It is a savor of life to those that hear it, and it's a savor of death to those that don't. And who's sufficient for these things? Certainly not me. I mean, I can't discern between those that hear it with gladness and those that despise it. It's impossible that a man could, because sometimes it appears to us that there are men who embrace it, who as time proves out, don't. And then it appears to us sometimes that there's people that don't embrace it, that in time, as it proves out, that they do. So, you know, it's impossible for us to go about and to determine who the children of God are without any error in this world. That's why the Lord said that he gave the teaching concerning the tares and the wheat. And he said, let them both grow together till the time of the harvest, and then the Lord will separate them. Now, we know that the Lord does work in His people, and there are given evidences of His grace along the way. But in the general consideration of the preaching of the gospel in the earth, we preach the gospel unto all men. We don't make any distinction between men, except to let them know and to tell them beyond the shadow of a doubt that apart from the grace of God giving them eyes to see and ears to hear these things, they will continue to despise them, because all men by nature do despise the things of God. Now, they don't necessarily know that they despise the things of God, but they find out that they despise the things of God when they are confronted with the things of God that do not go along with what they want to do or think. Now, everybody praises the Lord until the Lord does something they don't like. When everything's going great, it's easy to be a man of faith, is it not? I mean, when things are going good and everything's like we want it to be, and we're in a good mood, and the dog doesn't growl at us when we come home, and everything is fine. But sometimes the Lord causes the cupboard to be bare, and He causes the chilly north wind to blow upon us, and we don't have any covering for it. And it's only then that those who have confidence in the Lord can be known. You can't know whether or not you trust the Lord if everything's going great. Everybody trusts the Lord when things are going great. It's when things are going bad that you don't know. And the Lord, in the book of Ezekiel, I believe that I said a couple weeks ago that Jeremiah was the hardest book in the Bible to me to read. I believe it and the book of Ezekiel, they kind of go hand in hand, because the vast majority of what you read in these books is the Lord breathing out condemnation and threatenings to the nation of Israel and to the nations surrounding them. But, and a man might get the notion from reading these things, if he didn't understand the true nature of the Lord's relationship to His people, a man could sit on the sidelines and say that God was angry with those who were the apple of His eye. But that's why Ezekiel said, then said I, Lord God, they say of men, doth He not speak in parables? Is He talking about things that we can't get? What's He talking about? I mean, just come out plainly, tell us. That's what the Pharisees said to the Lord, wasn't it? They said, plainly, just tell us, art thou the Christ? He said, I told you and you didn't listen. Why would you listen if I just came out and told you like this when you don't? I show you day by day. I teach you. And you don't believe. So men always think, well, if this and if that, then I'd believe. Isn't that the way we are? Lord, I'd follow you if you'd do this. Lord, I would believe you if. But you see, the Lord is not in the business of giving men what they want. He's in the business of calling His people to Him in the time when it seems good to Him. Now listen to what He said over here. He said, as for you, O house of Israel, go ye and serve ye everyone his idols. Go ahead. Does it matter? Is the love of the Lord God Almighty in one sense or any wise diminished towards those who are the apple of His eye, whom He has loved from before the foundation of the world? Is that love in any wise diminished or changed because of the wickedness of those people? Now this is an amazing thing, dear brethren. And it's totally unacceptable to the moralist and to those who believe that man in his righteousness becomes pleasing in the eyes of God. And if you read some of the things that the Lord said to the house of Israel in this book of Ezekiel without an understanding of who God is and the love, specific love that He has for His people, you might come to the conclusion that God might cast away the people whom He loves. They said, it doesn't matter to me. He said, it doesn't matter to me. Now, the only people on earth whose hearts can be broken with that understanding is those to whom God is pleased to give grace. Because you see, the man who has not been given grace, he says, oh, well, God's going to love me in spite of everything. Well, I'll just go do whatever I'll just keep on. I mean, the Lord said He'd love me even if I serve my idols. I'll go serve my idols. But oh, look, listen to what He said. As for you, O house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, go ye, serve every one of his idols, and hereafter also, if ye will not hearken unto me, but pollute ye my holy name no more with your gifts and with your idols. For in my holy mountain, in the mountain of the height of Israel, saith the Lord God, there shall all the house of Israel, all of them in the land, serve me. There will I accept them, and there will I require your offerings and the first fruits of your oblations with all your holy things. And I will accept you with your sweet savor when I bring you out from the people and gather you out of the countries wherein you have been scattered. And I will be sanctified in you before the heathen. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I shall bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for the which I lifted up mine hand to give it to your fathers. And there shall ye remember your ways and all your doings wherein ye have been defiled, and ye shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that ye have committed. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have wrought with you for my name's sake, not according to your wicked ways, nor according to your corrupt doings, O ye house of Israel, saith the Lord God. David said it like this, O Lord, if thou shouldst mark iniquities, who should stand? If the Lord judged us according to the wickedness of our heart, then which one among us would have any hope whatsoever? None. But you see, the amazing thing is, and the world cannot see it, and the man without grace cannot comprehend it nor experience it, it is that the Lord does deal with His people's sin, but the way in which He deals with it is not in bringing judgment and condemnation on them from His throne upon this, but by causing them, when His Spirit has been sent upon them, to hate themselves for it and see themselves as sinners and understand what they are. And you see, that humbles the people of God before Him, before His face. And they can't then embrace sin and say, oh man, we just love that way. We love the way of wickedness, but we're sure glad that we're of the elect. No, you see, a man that says that, he doesn't know anything about what the Lord's talking about here. I don't know what he does know. I don't have any understanding of it. Paul said, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in it? Why? Because the Spirit of God works in His people. How He does it, I don't have any idea, but He said, when I do it, and you go on and serve your gods and pollute my name and do all those things that you're doing, but when I bring you into the land where I would have you to be, He said, then you're going to hate it. You're going to hate it. And you're not just going to hate what you did, you're going to hate yourself for doing it. You're going to say, how could we sin against the Lord our God? How could it be? Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Why? Because God in mercy brought him out of the darkness and into the light that he could see. Now, dear brethren, everybody is not given that sight. Everybody's sad that they did things from time to time. I mean, when you do something and it causes you to, especially when it causes you some kind of harm, you know, you do something, maybe you smoke all your life and you wind up with lung cancer, and you say, oh, I wish I'd have never smoked. I hate the fact that I smoked. Well, anybody would do that. But you see, when a man is brought to the place where he hates the very thought of sin, and it pains and grieves him when he considers that he has openly and wantonly and wickedly gone against the grace of Almighty God and pursued his own path. And it breaks his heart. You see, the Lord said, that's what I'm going to do to my people. He said, you go on and do what you're going to do. But He said, when I bring you out of the darkness from the nations from whence I've scattered you, He said, when I have wrought a work in you, He said, this is going to be the result. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have wrought in you for my name's sake, not according to your wicked works. Because if I'd have wrought in you according to your wicked works, I'd have cast you off a long time ago. But He says, I have not done that. But He said, according to my mercy. Because I loved you. Now earlier in this book He said, when I passed by thee and I saw thee in thy blood, He said, I saw you cast out as an infant which was cast out from his mother's womb and still in the blood of the birth and the afterbirth there and laying in a puddle cast out and forsaken. He said, then. He said, when you were in that condition, He said, it was then that I cast my skirt upon you. And I covered your nakedness. And I cleaned you and I wrapped you. And I suppled thee. Because you were mine. Oh, what a glorious thing, dear brethren, to those who are given eyes to see it. What an humbling thing. Oh, no, it's not a... It doesn't stir men up to wickedness. No, the thought of that stirs men to brokenness. And ye shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that you've committed. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face toward the south, drop thy word toward the south, prophesy against the forest of the south field. And say to the forest of the south. Now, brethren, I don't believe this is, he's speaking about judgment here, but he's speaking about the work of grace. Because you see, we are a proud people, are we not? By nature, isn't man a proud aren't we, don't we strut about? I mean, we get to thinking some little old something we do and we get to taking credit for it immediately. I mean, if there's an opportunity to take credit for something, we'll do it. You will. You know you will. We like it. It's in us. He said, prophesy against the forest of the south field, and say to the forest of the south, hear the word of the Lord, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will kindle a fire in thee. I'm going to set the woods on fire. Smokey the Bear would get mad if he heard this. He said, I'm going to set the fire in the woods, and he said, it's not only going to burn the dry trees, but it's going to burn the green trees. Now, we know the dry trees are going to burn. But it's got to be a pretty hot fire to set a green tree on fire. You can't hardly burn a green tree. I mean, you can pile up a bunch of old stumps and limbs and whatnot that's been dried out for a year or so, and boy, them things, they'll just burn up in no time. But you pile up a bunch of green trees, and you got to keep working at that to ever burn that up. I mean, you got to put stuff on it to make it hot enough to burn. The Lord said, I will kindle a fire in thee, and it shall devour every green tree and every dry tree. The flaming fire shall not be quenched, and all faces from the south to the north shall be burned therein, and all flesh shall see that I, the Lord, have kindled it. It shall not be quenched. Our God's a consuming fire, and He's going to burn the field. And the branches that bring not forth fruit, He's going to burn them up. But you see, those branches that are precious in His sight, which that's the green tree. He says, I'm going to burn them up too, but He said it's for a different reason. You see, all flesh is going to be consumed. He's going to consume the flesh of the wicked unto destruction, but He's going to consume the flesh of the righteous unto life eternal. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Can't do it. No man hath ascended up into heaven. You can't ascend up into heaven in your corruptible flesh. You can't do it. The Lord said, I'm going to send a fire. He says, I'm going to consume everything. Everything, but He said, that which is of the green tree, He says, it shall be established by the fire, while that which is of the dry shall be burned up and be remembered no more. Because you see, the Lord sends His judgment upon the sin of His people in a different way in which He sends judgment upon the sin of the wicked. He sends judgment upon their sin unto destruction. But He sends judgment upon the sin of the people of God unto life eternal. Because it pleases Him. Because they're His people. He loves them with an everlasting love. And the way He consumes the sin of His people is in bringing it to their understanding. Showing it to them. Because it is in their renewed nature to hate it. To turn from it. Whereas the man who is in his sin, he shall die in his sin. Because he has no thought towards that. he said, look, just leave me alone. I don't want to be somebody talking to me about my sin all the time. I don't want to think about my sin all the time. Well, I don't want to think about mine all the time either, but the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God brings it to my mind. See, I can't ignore it. I try to ignore it sometimes. I try to put it out of my mind, but it keeps popping up. Lord, keep showing it to me. Sometimes in the most unlikely of places. Oh, the Lord will cleanse and his floor. He will purify his wheat. He will bring forth judgment unto victory. Ezekiel said, I speak in parables. And the people say, well, what in the world are you talking about? But yet these are the things, you see, dear brethren, of which the kingdom of God, the substance of the kingdom of God is made, is the work of God in the people of his choice. He doesn't leave them in their pollution. Now, it's without doubt that they were all in the same pollution. And he says, you are going after the idols just like the ones upon whom the judgment of God has fell. They were going after their idols too. But he said, you, when I bring you into that land that I have prepared for thee. You see, the work of salvation is in the hand of the Lord. And what man is sufficient to attain it? But oh, the mercy of God is that he's going to bring men to himself. You see, he's going to make men aware of what they are by nature. He'll teach them. He'll write it with an iron pen upon their heart and upon their mind. And it'll burn like an ember of fire that's come from the throne of God that they can't escape. Well, I'm just not going to worry about my sin anymore. I mean, the Lord has taken it away. As far as East is from the West, why, I'm just not going to think about it anymore. Well, I'll just be happy all the time. Try it out. If the Spirit of the living God is within a man to convince him of sin, righteousness, and judgment, he won't be able to do that. He'll be reminded of his sin, and he'll be brought down every day, over and over and over again, to hate it, to loathe it before Almighty God, and say, oh Lord, cleanse me. Change my heart. Cause me, Lord, to walk in thy way. Purify my double-minded heart. Cleanse me from secret sin. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Because you see, the man who is made aware of his sin, he knows that if God should mark iniquities, if God should do according to that which he deserves, the Lord would remove himself from him immediately and just cast him away and do no more with him. But he can't help but plead for the Lord's mercy and fall before the throne of grace and say, Lord, if you don't cleanse me, I won't be cleansed. If you don't help me, I won't be helped. Oh, that God might teach us by His grace and bring us out into that wealthy place. It's not a place that men look on as wealthy. Men don't look on that as a prepared place at all. They say, well, I wasn't any worse off than that when I was down in Egypt. That's because they don't know. They don't know where they was at when they was in Egypt. You see, there's some people that can be in Egypt and be brought out and still be in as much bondage as they were when they were in Egypt. Peter writes to them. He says, some of you are like a dog which is washed, or a sow which is washed, who returns to her wallowing in the mire, or a dog that returns to its own vomit. Yes, there are men who give outward indications that they have become followers of the Lord, but they are once again entangled in those things. Now, what does it mean to be entangled? It means to become so enamored of the things of the world that they lose sight of the truth of God. This is not a description of the people of God. This is not a description of those whom the Lord has loved. Now, the Lord may bring a man to taste his own vomit from time to time. to remind them just how vile it is. But the Lord delivers His people. You see, when a dog that's been given a taste for heavenly things eats some of his own vomit, he said, "What in the world am I doing eating this stuff?" It may take a while. I don't know the process. See, people get to thinking that the Lord's timetable is the same as men's. It's not. You see, the Lord's timetable is absolute. I don't know what the Lord does to men, but I know this, that the Lord delivers His people out of bondage. He shows them everlasting life in Christ. And He works in them both the will and the good of His good pleasure, according to the Word of the living God. Because He does bring His people to a place that He has prepared for them. And we're seated in heavenly places in Christ. And which one of us can bring ourselves there? Or conversely, which one of us can cast out one who is there? Because you see, by the grace of God is how we got there. And He'll keep to the end those whom He loves. Oh, for grace to be numbered among the Lord's people, those who delight in the way of God, whose hunger and thirst is after righteousness. The Lord said, if a man hungers and thirsts after righteousness, he shall be filled. Because it is the hand of the Lord that does it. He didn't say, if a man hungers and thirsts after righteousness, he's going to eat enough to get full. No, He said, if a man hungers and thirsts after righteousness, he would be filled. The Lord will fill him. The Lord will give him such things as he stands in need of. What an awesome God. How beyond the reach of human understanding is the grace and mercy of God unto those whom He loves with an everlasting love.